This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Happy, happy Friday to us all. Jazzed as hell to reintroduce a good friend of ours, Harvey Kay. He's a professor emeritus of democracy and justice studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And he's a friend of ours. Happy Friday, Harvey. Great to see you, man.
Thank you. Great to see you. And I understand, I mean, Jess was telling me that just this week now you're in Racine.
We're in the Racine. Yes, man.
Racine.
It is. Some consolidation of operations and some stereo, radio equipment and all the kind of engineering things I don't know much about, but this place is awesome. This building we're in is like 100-year-old.
97 years.
Yeah, man. This station, this building's been around. So it's a great traditional classic radio spot, Harvey. So it's great to be here, man.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I asked Jess's permission to raise a question.
Oh, okay. What'd she say?
Well,
you got to ask really nicely sometimes.
over the many years, we've sometimes joked about the fact that you are a Lions fan.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I wanted to check with her that it was okay that you maybe, I mean, it's possible you've kept that quiet. Now that the Lions are doing so well, you may not want to be stung to abuse.
I've always been a proud Lions fan. Born in Livonia, man. How could I not? All my extended family was there. It was always they were always the underdogs, man. I mean, besides the 57 World Championships or whatever, they were always fighting. And Barry Sanders came around, man. And what an excitement that was. But yeah, man. I get it, man. When they play the Packers, you know, who do you really root for? And I get my chops busted quite a bit, Harvey, because I'll root for the Packers and I'll root for the Lions. But when the Lions play the Packers, I root for the Lions.
I do understand that. But you have to, I mean, it's really fascinating that the NFC, I mean, it's classic. The NFC is, everyone acknowledges, is the foremost of the regions. You know, I mean, it's just fascinating. But it's also the case, as good as the Lions are, that on any not going to say anything bad. On any given Sunday, if the Packers play Detroit or the Packers play Chicago or the Chicago play, any team could win. I'm sorry, not Chicago, the Vikings.
Oh, poor Chicago.
Yeah, I mean they're better than they've been. There's no question about that, and people shouldn't doubt their capacity to win games. But it is the case that Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay are just amazing teams this year. Absolutely amazing.
Now, so, Minnesota took it on the chin yesterday, so I had a quick text my Minnesota buddies
that.
Today.
I just stayed up to make sure I caught them. Who knew that I was going to get to see the guy sacked in the end zone?
And that was a face mask, Harvey. Come on, man. That should have been called.
Let's put it this way. Yes. But that's the way the ball
bounces. That's right. Win some, lose some. And for a Lions fan, you know, we have been the recipient of some bad calls over the years. You know, you never want to, like, blame the refs, but we've had a few of those. So I can appreciate the angst when the no calls cause you points or a game. But they were already down by 10. They were never coming back out of there anyway.
No, undeniably. But you know, it used to be the case that when I first came to Wisconsin back in 1978, everyone just talked about Bears and Packers as a rivalry. And now, for many years now, it's been Minnesota for us as the primary rivalry. But at the end of this season, it could well be that it becomes a free-for-all as to where the rivalries are, right?
Yeah. And it's so much fun. And, do you think maybe we mistakenly attribute our fandom and for entertainment and sports into politics, Harvey? You know what I mean? It becomes very gamey in some regards.
Here's the deal, okay? going into this season, I knew the Packers would be good. I mean, I knew that. But I actually said to myself, don't let yourself get carried away. You've got enough anxiety Monday through Saturday. You don't need Sunday anxiety too, given the politics of the moment.
Yeah.
But what I've discovered is the anxiety is natural when watching the Packers. I mean, it's given things. And moreover, it's a damn good escape.
Yeah.
For the one day. It's a damn good escape for the one day.
I've been making a point, and I've been talking about this quite a bit, Harvey, of trying to, especially with like the Brewers season, the baseball season just wrapping up. You know, they play a lot of games, you know, so it's great to have that on. Just even to put it on in the background if I'm doing something else, just to not have the news on, you know, because you can just doom scroll and sit there all night with the technology and everyone's putting out content. You know, it can never, if you want content and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, man, you can get it. But that's no way to live, Harvey.
I really wanted the Brewers to make it into I'm not really a baseball. I haven't been a baseball fan since the Dodgers left Brooklyn, which is why I wear this Brooklyn baseball cap. But it is the case that when the Brewers, how many years ago was it when the Brewers, they were really powerful and they went into the playoffs, and man, I got so excited, as I did when the Bucks, you know, won the NBA.
Yeah.
So I can live off of Milwaukee sports in key moments. How's that?
Yeah, we'll take whatever joy we can get in the moments we find them, Harvey. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much going on since we spoke last, but I did notice one of your tweets that I thought was telling, talking about Trump trashing American public life, but also it's not just Trump. This has been coming for a long time, I guess, if I'm going to interpret your thoughts. How about you tell me, Harvey? What do you mean?
Yeah, well, that tweet in particular, I'll tell you what incited that. I mean, Elon Musk just is like... He's just literally destroyed what was a decent sort of public space, Twitter, now X. And now with this utterly disgusting and corrupt offering of million. By the way, anyone who takes $1 million, more power to him, who the hell cares, right? But, you know, this gift he wants to give
sure,
to people.
Yes, to register voters,
This alone should be an indicator of just how far we have traveled from a time in which, say, the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, in which there really was something we could have called a democratic republic. We now have these billionaires who can really, really shape public debate, shape public culture, and utterly corrupt the democratic politics that we have, which had, I'm not saying they've ever been perfect, but it's truly awful now. So this tweet, as you noticed, what I go on to say is, but it's not Trump who's corrupted us. It's 50 years of corporate power, of conservative initiatives, you know, culture wars, and neoliberal public policies. So if you end up in a social order, in a political and economic order, in which you've got this class of billionaires that I've already said can overdetermine too many things, right? If that's the case, and everyone else, look, ever since the early 1970s, working people, in quotes, the working class has not seen a significant increase in their incomes and standard of living. And so as a consequence, you can imagine the kind of cynicism and anger that people carry with them to the point where, you know, they're looking to do damage to the people who've constantly promised them. And I'm thinking here of the Democratic Party.
Sure.
Vote for us, and we're going to make a tremendous radical difference, possibly. So, you know, I was just reaching a limit, and I thought, I almost wanted Elon Musk to like block me, or have one of his minions throw me off, just to get me out of that mess, you know.
We talked about this earlier in the week. Elon Musk, Miriam Adelson, and Wisconsin/Illinois' own Dick Uihlein put a combined $220 million into groups supporting Trump in just like 3 months. Or it was just unbelievable amount of money. $220 million in 3 months from three people. But Harvey, I mean, it's not just, it's the money. And the money usually, you know, they go to both sides. You know, what do the good businessmen do? They pay everybody. You know, you give some to the Dems, you give some to the Republicans. But then you have your partisan kind of billionaire business folks, right? Elon Musk certainly getting on that side. Mark Cuban, going with Harris. It's like bring your billionaire to work day when you got Musk jumping around the stage in Cuban. And you know, Cuban, fair enough, but I like him better than Musk. He's still a billionaire. Still some hoarding of the money thing going on. And I don't know that necessarily makes him any more wise to the world necessarily than anybody else, but we certainly give them that. And if what we don't give them, they can buy, Harvey. And that goes on all political sides.
Yes. And by the way, this is important. The reason that these folks can write off or write checks for that kind of money is because back in the first, was it in the first year of the Trump administration in 2021 or early in the second, he and the Republicans literally gave back, was it like $1 trillion worth of taxes to big corporations and the folks who were either already billionaires or on the verge of becoming billionaires.
Yeah.
So it's like, so basically, if you're now a billionaire, what the hell is a couple of $100 million?
Right. Right. Right.
And especially when the guys who are going to be running the game, if in fact the Republicans win, God forbid, well, not God forbid, we forbid. Anyway. Okay. If that's the case, they're going to get even more money to control the political and economic order.
Yeah.
No. It's maddening. I mean, truly maddening. It's the shame is that the vast number of people just don't have enough historical memory, because I have to say it, even though I favor public education over any form of education. It is the case that we are failing to teach the kind of historical memory that young people need to remind them of what it means to be an American.
Well, you're not going to want to start teaching all the kids this woke kind of talk, man. What are you talking about?
No. I want to teach. I'm not teaching woke anything. I want to teach them about. I want to teach them about the America's revolutionary promise: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
I want them to learn about Thomas Paine, who basically, when he issued the pamphlet Common Sense in January of '76, which led to turning a colonial rebellion into the American Revolution, not only for independence, but for the makings of a democratic republic. If that's the case, I want them to know about that. I want them to know why it is that they find America so exasperating these days.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He's going to stick around for another segment. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842. I'm curious for your opinion, Harvey, on what Paine would think of what's going on today. And I know you're a big FDR fan, what he would think as well. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. It is a Friday. We got Harvey on the hook. And we got Jess P.S. on the board. And you on the Lions, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay, joining me via the StreamYard, just on the board. Harvey, this piece you put out recently, No Pain, No Gain, Common Sense in the Year of 2024. And I got to tell you, man, and this has nothing to do with Thomas Paine or Common Sense. What has something to do with Common Sense? We, in the last hour, we went through specifically, line items of the Donald Trump platform. He's got 20 bullet points, Harvey. And in his explanation of their 16-page platform, they say common sense a lot.
Capital C, capital S, common sense.
Common sense, Harvey. So they're trying to appropriate it, perhaps, that was their intent. But you're the expert, man. What do you think Paine, Thomas Paine, would be thinking today?
Okay, for a start, you know, I wrote a piece back in 2016. No, I wrote a piece after Trump won in 2016, in which I sort of was telling people that they really need to go and check out the pamphlet Common Sense, which was the pamphlet that Paine authored in order to inspire Americans to think not only of trying to win their rights as British subjects, but actually to separate, that is, create an independent United States and also create a democratic republic. And I wrote this piece and I told people that when things happen as Trump intends to, you know, to carry them out, grab hold of these lines and rally people. Make, you know, whether you have to do it in taverns or wherever you have to do it, rally people and ultimately let them call us rebels, as Paine said in some of his writings. So, you know, Paine came to this country in late 1774, and within 1 year, he had fallen in love with the country, not only for its resources and the people who were so rambunctious, but also because he couldn't believe how determined Americans were to govern themselves, even though they couldn't bring themselves to say, yes, independence. So really, the first thing he figured he had to do was disabuse them from any worshiping or idolatry or, if you like, sort of respect even for King George III. And there were great lines he offered. I don't want to bore people.
No, this is what we're talking about, brother.
Okay, but I do want to read this particular statement of his, Paine. This is where Paine is really going after the king. It says, "Men who look upon themselves born to reign and others to obey soon grow insolent. And when they succeed to the government, are frequently the most ignorant and unfit of any people throughout the land."
God, that sounds so very familiar, Harvey. I don't know. Why do you think that is?
Absolutely. Mm. So Matt Strackbine, the letter hack, and I, who've been doing a series of comic books on American politics and history, comic strips, we decided we were going to grab hold of Paine, invite him into the bar that we use as the starting point of our comics, and have him sort of teach us what do we need to know and understand about confronting, you know, Donald Trump.
Yes.
And the forces of MAGA and the Republicans. And so we laid hold of that quote. And if people get a chance to go to commondreams.org, I guess it is, and check out this Paine, No Pain, No Gain.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I think you'll enjoy the cartooning, if only because I appear and Matt appear in Continental Revolutionary garb, okay? A three-cornered hat. But you'll see as well a B on the front of my tri-cornered hat. That's a B for the Brooklyn Dodgers, okay? Just for the record. Well, having said that, so what Paine was telling Americans is how unique their opportunities were to make a country in which the common people would rule. No kings, no aristocrats, no overlords. And if he were alive today, he'd say no billionaires. But what have we got? We've got too many overlords, too many billionaires. And truly, if Donald Trump, the royal wannabe, is reelected, we're going to see all of that on steroids this time around. Not to mention, Paine said, look, this was a country that he encountered that, in contrast to what he knew of Britain and Europe, was diverse. He arrived in Philadelphia and yet he had every religion imaginable was being practiced in Philadelphia, which was not the case back in England, or if they practiced it, they were being tolerated. Moreover, he said he loved the diversity of the ethnic and you know, what you call ethnic and national diversity that prevailed. And he said, look, this is a land that could become an asylum for mankind. He himself was an immigrant and to some extent a refugee. He had been sacked by the British government from the Excise Commission. And he just found a whole new set of possibilities here. So in this comic, we say Donald Trump, we don't use the term, is essentially un-American in the deepest original sense of what it means to be an American.
He certainly is. And the comparison to King George and the characteristics that Paine applies to the king and the folks around him certainly apply to the MAGA and Donald Trump himself. And asylum, man, don't get me started on the late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter. But Harvey, What's the hook? I mean, obviously there was a yearning for freedom, and even if you look at the messaging from the Harris campaign versus the Trump campaign, I mean, it is very, you know, very freedom focused and very authoritarian. Daddy's going to spank you vigorously focused. You see what I'm saying? How did he Payne break through to the masses to help them find their way?
First of all, he spoke bluntly. He spoke in ordinary language. He was educated to a certain extent, but his father was a Quaker back in England, and his father didn't let him learn Latin or Greek. No offense, Jess. Okay, she did classical studies at college. Okay, but so he spoke a language because he was himself a working man, Payne. Okay, so part of the problem is that we have to be clear. I don't think the Democratic Party right now, for all of its down to earth vibes these days, I don't think it's doing that as effectively as it should. And I wish they'd call me up and I'd help them out.
Well, Harvey, that's why we call you up and you help us out and we'll get the word out. Harvey Kay, he is the Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, always a pleasure to catch up with you. I'm assuming the World Series start tonight. L.A. for you, man?
No.
All right.
You have to have me on sometime to tell why it is that I literally gave up professional baseball when the Dodgers left Brooklyn. I was a little kid. It's a good story. Have me on.
I'll give you a hug, Harvey. Thank you so much, man. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank our friend Harvey Kay. He is the Professor Emeritus for Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin in Green Bay. He's a smart dude. He's a funny cat, and we love having him around. Hopefully he will join us again real soon. You can look for his comic strips up on commondreams.org, commondreams.org. You know, whatever we can do to reach people, man. And I love the funnies, man. I grew up on like Mad Magazine and Cracked and Archie comic books. So I'm all down with the comic strips. We do have some callers. You've been patient. Let's get to them. 855-75-CIVIC. Lisa from Racine, you're up. Welcome, Lisa. Happy Friday. What do you got for us? Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
Oh, there you are.
Hi, Don.
Hey.
Sorry. It was pause from the radio. But anyway, I'm calling just to, again, point out the irony of the Republican Party. I live in Union Grove, Wisconsin. We're very much Trumpville. And we have a referendum on our ballot for $39 million for our schools.
Oof.
And every time I pass, right? And every time I pass a Trump Hovde sign, there's the support our UG school. So I put out on our... Yeah, you know, kind of like when we grew up, Dom, one of these things is not
like the other. Right.
Maybe we need to go back to that because they're not getting their own policies. They don't even understand what's happening. I mean, the guy point blank said, I want to dismantle the education system,
mm-hmm.
but let's put $39 million in. Maybe they're supporting the sex changes in the schools. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Gotta be that, right?
It costs a lot of money to put in those operating rooms. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Right,
so the words that come out of their mouth.
It is ridiculous.
They go to school. You drop them off. They're a boy. They come back. They're a girl. I mean, I'm thinking, what, dude? Like, were you even involved in your kid's education? Did you ever have your kid call you and say, I got a headache, and try to get an aspirin from the nurse?
That's an easy question to answer.
No.
Right? Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Lisa. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. Love it when you join us on the lines, 855-752-4842. Chris from Madison, Madtown. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for having me. I just wanted to express my deep appreciation for all the Thomas Paine talk. He's one of my favorite founding fathers. Yeah. He's just... and a lot of people just don't realize, you know, Common Sense is a great, great treatise he wrote, but he wrote so many other things too. Age of Reason, Agrarian Justice, which is the precursor to the modern idea of Social Security as we know it. It actually goes further than our current Social Security system. So I just think that these ideas that Thomas Paine put out there are not, if we can embrace them more from a leftist point of view, I feel like that we can win a lot more hearts and minds to that kind of thing. So I just really appreciate you having your guest on today talking about that.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Appreciate you listening. Glad you appreciated our fine guest, Harvey Kay. And you know, we talked, I think, a little bit about it, Chris, about some of the lacking of the history. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We do need to continue to talk about it. And it was really funny to me, and I didn't even think about this in the context of, you know, King George versus Trump, you know, and how do you have to, you know, convince and specify and motivate the some of the original colonists to actually follow through with what they thought they wanted, right? You know, you mm-hmm. want this, mm-hmm. but here's how you do it, and here's what you need to do. I think it's great, Chris. And thank you for the call, and I love it when Harvey comes around because he's a lot smarter than I am on that stuff.
Oh, he's a good dude.
He is. But I mean, again, these things are out there. I mean, if you're ever bored one night and you stick up the doom scrolling, or you're done looking at your TikTok, or you've seen all the bands that you want to see on YouTube, go read some of these things. They are timeless, and they're talking about the founding of our country. And as Harvey pointed out, they're applicable today. We talk about freedoms. You know, I mean, you talk about actual individual personal freedoms and compare what people like Donald Trump are telling you, what he thinks about your freedoms, and then compare it to what Harris thinks about your freedoms. And listen, I'm not naive. There's no one most awesome candidate ever in the world. Come on, man. That's not how it is. It's not about falling in love. I know a lot of people like to fall in love with their candidates in order to do it. No, that's not what it is. This is not your sports team. I mean, this is self-governance. It's a little more important than your sports team. I'm just saying. Just saying. 855-752-4842. CJ. Hey, man. Happy Friday, CJ. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call. I would have loved to talk to Harry about ask him a question, because he talks about democracy, and I wonder what he would think about what the federal judge overturned and is forcing 1,600 illegals.
Alleged illegals. So, illegals, yes, CJ, right? Alleged?
Suspected. Potential.
Suspected?
Well, yeah.
Okay, yep. So what's your point?
Claim. So what's the point is that your party's willing to cheat.
That was a judge, man. CJ, let's settle down, man. You want to talk about this Judge Patricia Tolliver Giles appointed by Biden? Okay. Do you know the circumstances? Do you know why she ruled the way she did, CJ?
Do you know that the
CJ, can you explain to me, will you please articulate for me? Yes, she ruled that these 1,600 individuals had to be put back on the rolls, right? So she ruled that. Do you know why she ruled that?
Okay, I want to hear why you think.
Well, come on, man.
That.
You're going to call up and bitch about it. I would at least think you would know the circumstances behind the ruling, dude. So you don't? That's fine. I'll edify you because I have the internet. My Google ain't broke, dude. So from CNN.com. A federal judge on Friday halted a Virginia program that purged the state's voter rolls based on indications, quote unquote, that a person might be a non-citizen and ordered officials to restore the registrations of roughly 1,600 people who had been removed under the process. Now, the ruling, again, from this Biden-appointed judge, does not give non-citizens the right to vote. Very important. Now, rather, the judge is siding with the Biden administration and others in finding that Virginia's program violated a federal law that forbids systematic removals of the voter rolls 90 days before an election. 90 days before a federal election. Quote, when it is within the 90-day period, pardon me, when it was within the 90-day period, it must be done on individualized basis, she said. Virginia's approach left no room for individualized inquiry. The challengers also put forward evidence that citizens were wrongly being removed from the rolls under Virginia's system, the judge noted. Okay, so there's two problems with this. Number one, the 90-day rule violation. Now, you could argue, CJ, that should be 60, it should be 30, it should be zero. But, you know, point is, that's how it is right now, number one. And number two, according to the judge and the ruling, there is evidence put forward that citizens, that be U.S. citizens, were being wrongly removed from the rolls under Virginia's system, the judge noted. So there you go.
And it'll be overturned by the Supreme Court.
Maybe.
Your party
it's not a party, dude. It's a judge. Do you understand the difference? Do you know how the judiciary works, dude? I mean, I know under Donald Trump, he would absolutely, you know, use the power of the Department of Justice to go after people. He said it. He said it. But this is a judge, dude. It's not a party. You understand that, right?
It is Biden's attorney general fighting for illegal aliens.
The judge, no, come on, man.
There
are
citizens on that list.
There's citizens on that list. Let me ask you real quick, CJ, before we let you go. How many citizens would you martyr? Would you throw off that list in order to get someone who shouldn't be on that list? How many is acceptable for you? Is it your vote, man? Is it okay if they go through that process and it's you? Go ahead.
It's a case by case basis, and those people can fight to.
See, that's the point. It wasn't, though. It was a bulk case. They wanted it should be individualized. It should be a case by case, and it wasn't, CJ.
Yeah, so CJ, that's a great point. We should be going on a case by case basis. Excellent point, CJ. Thank you.
Thank you for making it. And come on, man, read it. Man, just read it. If you don't like the 90 days, fine. If you don't care that there's citizens on that 1,600 person list, okay. I mean, I think
objectionable.
But that's your call. But that's the reason. And furthermore, in part of the order, election officials are to send the 1,600 people notices informing them that their registrations have been restored. Those letters will also advise them that non-citizens are not eligible to vote in Virginia. See what I'm saying? Now, one other note here from the CNN, and again, if your Google's not broke, you can go find it. And you can argue, because it was the Biden administration, obviously, on the one side, and it was the state of Virginia on the other. Okay, fair enough. But the judge made the ruling, man. The judge made the ruling. And it's certainly obvious within the letter of the law within the 90 days. And it is apparent, and you even agree, CJ, and thank you for your wisdom, this should be done on an individualized basis, and we certainly should not be throwing actual U.S. citizens off. But if this makes you feel any better, quote, the supposed threat of non-citizens voting in the 2024 election has been a fixation of Trump and Republicans. However, documented cases of non-citizens voting are extremely rare. A recent Georgia audit of the 8.2 million people on its rolls found just 20 registered non-citizens. 20 registered non-citizens out of 8.2 million people, only 9 of whom had voted. So they'll run it up to the, you know, appeals court, Supreme Court, yada, yada. Okay, we'll follow it. But if the letter of the law is very specific and clear, they're doing a bulk removal, and there's evidence, according to the judge in her ruling, that there's U.S. citizens in there. Well, you know, if I was a U.S. citizen, I'd be a little miffed if you took me off the rolls, man. So, yeah, I appreciate the call, man. But there you go. 855-752-4842. Mark from the Sack will squeeze you in. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, and thanks for pointing out to CJ that, you know, that the 14th Amendment says that it's individual voters have the right to vote. I mean, as amended by subsequent amendments, you know, that we actually have the right to vote. And if it's denied or abridged anyway, that's a violation of the Constitution. But getting back to what was going on earlier, that I wonder how many of those provisions in Trump's policies are actually violations of Project 2025 or Agenda 47, which would probably override whatever generous policy that he's putting forth in the Republican platform, because my guess is that they'll default back to Project 2025 Agenda 47. And this is probably horrible for me to even suggest, but with what Tucker Carlson is suggesting, that what are going to go, you know, Dwight D. Cignar and any and all the little Theo Bros are going to say, well, once girls have flowered, they're eligible for marriage and Donald Trump can order.
No, I get you, man. Thank you, but I mean, that Tucker Carlson is just so disgusting, dude. And that whole analogy. So I get your point, but I don't know that we should continue that analogy. Thank you, Mark. Have a great weekend, man. This is the Tom Salvia Show. We got one last segment coming up, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I think there might be a little sound that we haven't got to yet, and we'll get the last of the final top headlines before we wrap it up for the weekend. And we appreciate every single one of you hanging out with us. It is a gorgeous day here in the Midwest. 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can join us for this last segment. There's so many headlines to get out there. The Elon Musk apparently has been having secret conversations with Putin.
That's according, awful. I don't
according
like
to
that
left wing progressive rag, the Wall Street Journal, you know, and apparently the head of NASA thinks that should be investigated. I mean, I don't know. We're not supposed to really be. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, I mean, he's the richest man in the world. So, yeah. You know, and
it's good to have friends, right?
The best friends.
Yeah.
The best friends. But of the sound, the Trump.
Let's quickly. It's a minute. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do Trump. He's going to rescue folks. He's here for you. Cut one.
I will rescue every town across America that has been invaded and conquered. And we will put, and that's true. Think of the words. Towns that have been invaded and conquered. They've been conquered.
Conquered.
They've been conquered.
Conquered?
And a lot of, it's not everybody's Aurora where they're talking about it. We have many towns that are in the same position and worse, but they don't want to talk about it. It's out of control.
Yeah, you don't hear about it.
We have a lot of towns that haven't yet been infected.
Infected.
That they will be, and they will be.
Infected. I mean, infected. The next thing, they're going to poison the blood of our country.
How can you even say that, Dom?
Oh, my God. What a POS. Yeah, vote for this guy. That's you. I mean, and ultimately, folks, and I'm down. You know, we can have these conversations, and I'm trying to convince you not to vote for somebody like that. But if you do, and we're right about all the fascistic-y things the guy wants to do, I'm going to put that on you. Cut number two from Trump today.
Sure. What he really thinks about our great country.
A shining city on a mountain.
Not
right?
quite.
Not shining quite. City on a hill. What did Reagan say? Something like that. I'm sure it's close. Let's hear it.
A lot of people coming out of the Congo, not just South America. They're coming from
the Congo's 181
countries as of yesterday. Right, and we're a dumping ground. We're like a garbage can for the world.
Huh.
That's what's happened. That's what's happened to our.
Are they booing him?
I'm not sure.
You know, it's the first time I've ever said that. And every time I come up and talk about what they've done to a country, I get angrier and angrier. First time I've ever said garbage can, but you know what? It's a very accurate description.
A shining. Oh, no, no. No, Oscar the Grouch. It's a garbage can.
It's a garbage can.
It's garbage, and we're conquered and invaded and infected and
poisoned,
and we're a nation of immigrants, except only the white ones. I'm not sure. Vice President Harris had some response to those awful, continually terrible comments by the folks that apparently half this country want to be president.
Indeed.
Let's hear what the vice president had to say.
I also do want to address the comment that Donald Trump made about America being the trash can of the world, whatever he said, something along those lines. You know, it's just another example of how he really belittles our country. Mm-hmm. This is someone who is a former president of the United States who has a bully pulpit. And this is how he uses it to tell the rest of the world that somehow the United States of America is trash.
That's trash.
Yeah. The person who thinks that our country is trash, that's really who you want to be the primary ambassador? That's who you want representing us on the international stage? I prefer the woman who loves this country and who shows it.
And it's not, listen, we've certainly as the human race, you know, and as a country, as a people, we're flawed.
We're flawed people.
We're flawed people, just as a fine attorney once told me. But would you rather have someone highlighting the negatives or the negatives? Again, come on, give me a break. No one's getting conquered. You know, no one's getting infected. What he's talking about are untruths and terrible characterizations. When we have, you know, Haitians that are granted temporary stay here in this country, and they're accepted and taken by a town and put to work and working hard, you know, the American dream kind of thing, folks. That's no different than when my grandparents came over from Italy. You know, and everybody, unless you're indigenous to this country. And I don't know if we're going to have time for the apologies.
We will not. We'll have to carry it to Monday.
Unless you're indigenous to this country, you're an immigrant. And if you're an immigrant, you probably went through some of the stuff that Donald Trump is shoveling right now. And at one point, Donald Trump, Drump, I believe, was the family name prior to coming over.
Yeah.
Also an immigrant. Oh, come here legal or illegal, all those things. Oh, okay, fair enough. I get that. We all want to be, you know, law-abiding and law and order, but disregard the fact that your guy's broken law, felonious, and attacked the Capitol and tried to overthrow the government. But okay, I get you. Those other laws we got to follow. Okay, fair enough. The Haitian migrants are here legally. Temporary protected status. They're working. They're providing for their families. They're not eating the dogs. They're not eating the cats. They're not eating the pets of the families that live there. They're not eating the geese. It's fall, the geese go south. Those aren't happening. And it's easy to sit up and just trash everything all the time. It's a little more difficult to think and try to motivate and articulate a positive vision for our people, for our country. Work on that, Mega. I want to thank Harvey K for joining us today. Thank you, Jess. Been a great week. Thank you, audience. We will be back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. I haven't figured out who I want for the World Series yet, so go baseball.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.